Ms. Clark. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Go to Matthew chapter number 13. Matthew 13. This morning, again, I appreciate all our teachers and workers that came out to the banquet. What a blessing it was. We did have a great time of fellowship and a lot of instruction this year. A lot of times we've done a lot more honoring, and I wish we could have done that. I just think that people were ready to go home after they were filled up, amen, on information and on the food. And sometimes even this morning we remember that just only so much time that people can sit in a seat and pay attention. So in Matthew 13 this morning, I want to preach a message on casting the net for Christ, casting the net for Christ. We find here in Matthew 13, the Lord Jesus begins to teach by the seashore. And again, the natural acoustics that Jesus oftentimes would use to stand and let the waves push his voice towards the people as they sat down or whether they stood as he taught them. And so many times Jesus would do that and find places that were natural places, natural auditoriums on the outside. It is amazing to me to think about the Lord Jesus and how many times it talks about how he fed the 5,000 and the numbers of people that would come out to hear him teach and to preach about the gospel or the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And as he would preach, how many people he would speak to without a microphone, how he would preach to so many people without a building of his own, how he had no home and no house. And too many times, if we're not careful, we'll make everything about the Christian life about things that Jesus didn't think a whole lot about. He didn't care a whole lot about the things of this earth, but he cared about the people, the souls that were going to spend eternity either in heaven or in hell. Our fall campaign is about fishing, and so without me saying I'm sorry, I just want you to know over the next few weeks, I believe that my heart and at least my mind, unless the Lord moves me away from those areas, I'm probably going to talk a lot about casting, because when you go fishing, you cast out the line into the water, or you cast the net out. And so the Bible has much to say about that, but even in more places, it has all those things. I love how Jesus says in John chapter 6 that anybody that the Father brings to him, he will in no wise cast out. The Bible just has so many things to say about casting. And so as we go through the next few weeks in the fall campaign, let me encourage you to find someone, maybe of like mind, someone that, like you, doesn't like abortion, but maybe needs to hear the gospel, and invite them to be here with you, to be a part. We'll have a pack a pew Sunday behind it. Next week, we'll really be kicking it up. Wednesday night, we'll talk about it. And that's a pack a pew Sunday. And we're going to have a table back here next week and the auditorium decorated. So begin to invite people to come with you. By the time we get to October 16th, we're going to have a fish fry Sunday. Amen. And we want you and your visitor to come and eat fish with us. I figured if there was anything that somebody may come out for to hear the gospel before they ate was fish, right? I mean, because if it isn't fried chicken, it needs to be fried, and fish is okay, amen, as long as it's fried, amen? And so it needs to be there, all right? And then the final week is Roundup Sunday, and every time we always have a great Sunday. That's always a good Sunday to invite people because the sheriff's here, and everybody loves our sheriff, don't they? Except for the ones that he's already put away. So invite the people that are free to come out and see him and to meet him, amen, and make a friend. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44 is where we'll start. I want to preach a message, like I said, on casting the net for Christ, but I hope you realize Jesus has been teaching for some time by the time he gets to this place. It's deep in the chapter, and I'll go back and reference some of these things. But before we dive into the message today, let's go ahead and ask the Lord to help us one more time hear his word. Dear Lord, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I again beg you to just help me to be your messenger boy, just to preach the message, God, that you have laid out for us to hear today. Lord, I pray that you would do what I can't do. Holy Spirit of God, I pray you'd go through the auditorium and then reach into the hearts of people and draw all men unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that he would be lifted up. Lord, I pray today that the Christian would be encouraged to continue to do the things that they know is right for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that if there's one here, Lord, and that is still lost and doesn't know Christ as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name, amen. There, we find here in chapter 13, seven. God does a lot of things in sevens, doesn't he? We find seven parables. He begins one with the sower. I love to preach it. I've often preached it out of Mark chapter number 4, but he talks about the sower who went out to sow. And really, we talk about it because it is focused, and Jesus actually names the parable of the sower. So I'm not going to change the name, but most of the parable is all about the soil. Because the sower is Jesus, and he's the Lord. I mean, he is just always constant. And he is going to make sure, and it is his will that the world be seeded, and the seed is the word of God. And we see that through that beginning of the chapter. We're not going to preach it this morning, but just, and it really, the blessing of knowing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that the seed is the word of God, and it never changes either, amen? And then all of a sudden, that it depends on what the soil does with the seed on whether they're going to go to heaven or go to hell. And what a blessing it is to know that God has chosen every man. We live in a day and age where people that maybe call themselves preachers or theologians, so-called, would teach and preach that it's not God's will for every man to be saved. That is false, that is corrupt, that is wicked. It's straight, it's a doctrine straight from the pit of hell. And men preach that, and they call it Calvinism because it was a man that came up with it. And we live in a day where that is taking over society and denominations. And I just want to say, this book is God's book. It's not a denomination's book. It's the Word of God. Jesus is the Savior of the whole world, not of a denomination. And as we go forth and we invite people to come to our church, we are Baptists, and we call, that's unashamedly. Not because it's a denomination, because it identifies our doctrine. It identifies with this book. And so as we invite people to come, we need to tell them, man, we are going to teach about the good sower, the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to hear about him and from his word, from the King James Bible. He second of all, he not only has the parable of the sower, but the parable of the tares. And it really tells us the story of this world, that when Jesus came to sow good seed, there's a devil who, just like that terrible doctrine that some people can get saved and some people can't. That's false and from the pit of hell. And the devil has people out there sowing his seed as well to confuse, so that the tares grow up among the wheat. And you say, preacher, he taught about that? Yeah, Jesus taught about that back in his earthly ministry. And that is still going on today. While men put out the pure word of God, others, they put out something that's watered down, something that is a half-truth. And a half-truth won't get you to heaven. You need the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ, to get you there. We see that he goes on. He doesn't just stop there. He continues on, and he talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ being that seed. He's continuing that idea of seed, that it's like this, even though it's the smallest, like the mustard seed, when it goes in and it comes up, it's a herb, but it's not just a herb. It looks like a tree. And boy, when we look back and see what Jesus had came and done, and had no buildings and had people that came out in the wide open area, and now that his name is still preached even today, it must be the Son of God. It's a place that even in the scripture, it talks about the mustard seed, that people come and are sheltered therein. And the church, the Lord's church, has been a shelter for me. It's changed my life. I got married in a church. I got saved in a church. I've lived, worked, and breathed in a church because it's a good place. It came up like a mustard seed into a tree that the birds of the field and everywhere else can come and hide and be sheltered therein. Folks, if you're not a part of a good local church, I encourage you to shelter yourself in the place that God made for you. He didn't just come to give you the gospel, but he built a church that you could grow and raise your family in. Next week, we'll have a baby dedication so that we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, that we can see scripturally other people did, and where we say, I'm promising God that I'm going to raise my children in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. I'm not going to take them out of this safe haven that God has built and prepared for them to be raised right. Sheltered from a world that wants to tear them down and tear them apart and confuse them with its own doctrine. What a doctrine. Then the parable of the leaven. You see the progression? Because it only takes a little leaven to leaveneth the whole lump. How much leaven does it take to ruin a family? Just a little bit. How much leaven does it take to get you out of church and take your family away where they can be destroyed? Just a little bit. That bread that we talked about and cast out there, you know, it didn't take but just a little bit of leaven for to see that bread rise. And instead of being a cracker, it became a loaf of bread with all that air in it. And listen, you know, every one of these things, what's interesting to me is Jesus is not only teaching, and what a master teacher he was, because he begins talking about things a farmer would know about. Then he begins to talk about things a farmer would still know about, because 90% of the world at that time probably was a farmer or knew about farming. Then he gets down and he talks about trees. So maybe they didn't do that, but maybe they were a farmer and they didn't plant in the field, but they harvested fruit from trees like some people have done for decades and generations in Florida. Then he comes to a place where he gets to leaven, and every one of those folks had baked bread, and they knew about that, especially the Jew, knew the difference, because leaven to the Jew always pictured sin. Even when their feast days, they had time when they ate unleavened bread, because leaven pictured sin. Then he gets to a place where he talks about a hidden treasure in a field. And you know, everybody, this is people, these are the yard sailors. You know people in our day that go out yard sailing? They go to the thrift store. They're treasure hunters. They're always out in the field hunting a treasure. In our day, people hunt the internet for a good deal. He's trying to speak to everybody. Maybe they weren't a farmer. Maybe they're somebody. Maybe they were just a businessman hunting a good deal, finding treasure in a field. And we're going to kind of begin there, but then he finds a pearl of great price. Somebody that is willing to find something they really, someone who sought and sought and sought and found just what they were looking for. This is such a picture of the soul, the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. The soul that is searching for God, searching for that empty place inside of them, and they don't know what it is, but when they find it, they know that that is exactly what they've been looking for all their life. And they're willing to sell everything else off to buy that one thing that will really, truly fill the place, that empty place inside themselves. He comes all the way down to the parable of the net. And I want to read it to you. We're going to begin where the treasure is, and we're going to begin there in verse 44. He says, and again, because again, he's using that term again because he's been teaching on all seven of these parables. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessel, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? He's speaking to his disciples. There's a transition in the chapter where he leaves the group from the seashore and begins to just teach his disciples. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Jesus is going to continue to finish the chapter here, but this is where he ends his speaking. And it transitions with him moving to another town. I want to just go back and I want you to see some things that I find in the scripture. There's so much in these parables that we've already explained. But here I want you to see that it begins with two parables here that we're looking at. The treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. And I can't really explain to you why it is that maybe a man would have been a digging in the field, but maybe it was just some treasure that walking through the field that he just happens upon. There are all kinds of things in this world that you can happen upon. That there can be, I mean, we could go through the stories of gold and where they walked through, and maybe someone had walked that way years and years and years, but maybe an earthquake had uncovered veins of gold in the earth, and a man would see that, and he sees it uncovered, and I can picture him just like the man in this field going and grabbing and cutting down branches and briars and stacking them up against the vein of gold so that no one else that walks on this path would see what he saw. But then he went and sold everything that he had so that he could get that van, that land that had such value, so that he could dig. People in our day always wanting to know, are the mineral rights or are the oil rights? When you buy a piece of land, they want to know, do you just own the top side of everything or do you own everything underneath of it? Because there might be something down there that's a treasure that is untold. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Beverly Hillbillies. You know, going out into the backyard, you think you're shooting a deer, and all of a sudden a geyser comes up. It's never happened to me. I would welcome it. But over where I live, the EPA would be over there, and I'd have to spend more than what would come out of the ground, amen, to clean it all up. You know what I'm talking about. That's the day and age we live in. But a treasure in a field, too many times in this life, we don't really picture our salvation the way God wants us to picture it. Do you know, I'm glad that I didn't really have to go. You see the contrast here? There's a man who happens upon the treasure, and there's a man that went looking for one, a pearl of great price. I just happened to be one this morning that the treasure found me. I was born again in a good Baptist church. And before I could even really walk, crawl, or speak, I grew up in that place, and God blessed my soul and put me in a place where I heard good doctrine. I heard the perfect word of God read to me from the King James Bible. My parents got saved there. I walked an aisle there. I've been in that place over and over again. And I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, I realized that there was a treasure in my life all along, but one day I realized it. And for the joy that I knew that I would get when I received Jesus Christ, I made him my own. I went out and said, I don't care about what else happens. I want to get eternal life for myself. I don't care who believes that I've been hanging around. You realize I was so silly, it took till 15. I heard the doctrine and the doctrine and the doctrine, and I had prayed before, but boy, I was confused until finally I realized how much of a treasure there was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember all the things I thought I would lose by walking an aisle. Do you know, you may be in this place today and you have been here over and over and over again, but you've never been saved. And now you said, how could I ever be saved now or walk an aisle and tell everybody, because everybody thinks I'm a Christian. They'll call me a hypocrite. They'll call me this. You know, those are all the thoughts that went through my mind. And this morning, I want you to put all that aside and realize the treasure that you would miss if you would not put everything else off and sell everything out in your life. And listen, do you know there's not one person in this room that would say, oh, what a hypocrite. They'll say, thank God that they're on their way to heaven. They'll say, I'm thankful. I couldn't believe that they hadn't received Jesus, but praise the Lord that they got in like I am. Not one person would belittle you, but that's how our earthly mind thinks. That's how the devil wants to put that doubt in our mind that this isn't a good thing. He wants to try to say there won't be joy after you get saved. People will get after you. They'll complain or they'll backstab you. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, that is not how the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is supposed to be. When somebody finds a treasure in their field and they realize they can accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, what a day that would be. Not only joy for them, if they can rejoice in heaven over one soul that comes into repentance, what should the church of the living God do? We should rejoice. How about the one that finds, they realize, they come to church, and maybe you're like that this morning. You've come into the building and you've been hunting something and you've gone to other places and you found nothing in that place. They told you had to work your way there, or you had to be a good person, or that you had to get baptized or whatever they say up north, and you gotta do this and that. Maybe you've been down to the Catholic church and they told you had to eat Jesus. Transubstantiation. We'll have the Lord's Supper tonight, but maybe they've taught you that if you don't take that, you can't be saved. We take that because we are saved, not to get saved. No cracker and grape juice is going to save anybody, never has and never will. Jesus is not some passing thing that goes in the mouth and works its way through the body. Jesus is the Son of God who came from heaven and died on Calvary and rose again the third day so that I could have a head of the body of the church, so that I could have a captain of my salvation, so I could have somebody that I could say, look at my Jesus and you can live. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you today, you need to realize if you showed up at the Landmark Baptist Church looking for something that you didn't have, it is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is the pearl of great price. He's worth selling out everything for and buying it when you found Him. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Him, boy, I pray that to God that you'd step out and sell out. And say everything else is secondary to this truth or the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and accept Him as your Savior. And he goes on to the net. You say, preacher, what about the net? Look at the net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Do you know the net of the gospel? After Jesus came, died, rose again, and now the gospel is not only in print, but is preached around the world, the net has been dropped into the sea of this world. And as long as we gather it around and we pull that net through, do you know that the net pictures is a great picture of the church? Do you know that everybody that comes up in the net of the church, not everybody saved? You can be in this place this morning and know about Jesus Christ, but never have accepted Him as your personal Savior. Amen. This picture really is a different time period. When it talks about the kingdom of heaven, it's talking about the end of all things, not the rapture of the church. But much like that, there's going to be a separation. If the rapture were to happen this morning, it wouldn't necessarily be like a net. There would be some that are taken and some that would be left. Because only God knows, you and the Lord Jesus know whether you are for sure saved and on your way to heaven. And knowing that for a Bible reason is a good thing to know. Not because mama told me or daddy told me. Not because someone else said it was so, but because I have a Bible reason. Because I called upon the name of the Lord. Boy, I think one of the greatest things in this life to know that you know that you know is to know that you're on your way to heaven. I have so many things that I could nail down, and there are certainties. God made a wonderful world that works so much on math, and it can be calculated and guaranteed that this is going to happen just the way God said it would. So why would salvation be any different? God laid out a plan of salvation and said, if you will do these things, thou shalt be saved. Amen. If you just believe in your heart that Jesus is the very Son of God, and then confess with your mouth that you believe in Him, that's what the Bible says. Trusting in His finished work of Calvary, not your works, not your baptism, not your walk, but put your faith in Him. Listen, when I can see the end of all time, not the church age, but the end of that 1,000-year millennial reign, that net has been pulled. There are good people and there are bad people, even during the age where Christ will rule. But don't think that this age is any different. People who've accepted Christ, He'll pull them up and go, here's one of mine. And He'll put them in the boat. He'll pull another and go, depart from me, you. I never knew you. Say, what's the separation between lost and saved? People that He knows that have called upon His name and those that He never knew. I never knew you. Folks, the Bible goes all the way through this. I want you to see this morning, quickly this morning. Turn to Romans chapter number 10. I'm going to read this verse that I want to talk about this morning quickly. But he says here in verse 51, as you turn to Romans chapter 10, Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his own treasure things new and old. Do you know in Romans chapter number 10, you know how most people get saved in this life? for Bible reasons. In Romans chapter 10, if you'll look at it with me very quickly, we'll start in verse 13. It's speaking. He says scribe. Scribe was a teacher, but it was also someone, the very name scribe means that they recorded things. Do you know many of these men that were sitting with the Lord Jesus knew about the kingdom of heaven, and they would pen down what we have now as the gospel? They would write it down. And the greatest thing, when I read this again, I read it over and over again, and I thought, what a blessing it is that Jesus said that they're going to record these things about this kingdom of heaven, and it would be new and old things. Do you know that this New Testament contains so much of the old? The prophecies of Jesus is coming. Looking back, prophecies of John the Baptist. It writes things and they just quote over and over and over again the Old Testament. But there is so much New Testament scripture as well for us in the church age. He writes all these things, and in verse 13 he says, this is not something you're going to find in the Old Testament, but in the New. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know, it doesn't put it exactly that way in the Old Testament, but there's a lot of times where they tell you to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. You know, most people that miss heaven, knowing about Jesus, have a head full of Bible, but they never accept him in their heart is because instead of trusting in their Lord with all their heart, they miss heaven by 18 inches. Because they have a head full of Jesus, but they never trusted the Lord with all their heart. And just said, Lord, I don't understand all the workings. I don't understand everything that there is to know, but I know and I trust that Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven, came to this old earth and died and rose again to pay for my sin debt. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, the joy that I found that day when I accepted that, you know, he keeps on going here. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not heard, have not believed, I'm sorry. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. And the tidings, look, the glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. That is a sad truth. You say, why'd you read all that, preacher? Because I realize this, that you can preach and you can preach and you can preach. And people can hear and they can hear and hear and hear. But they have to make a choice on what they're going to do. And I honestly have to say it the way the scripture does today. You will do one of two things with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will disobey it or you will obey it. You realize, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is a question of who will. All who will may come. But the question of trusting the Lord with all your heart, that's not a question. That's an Old Testament command. And you will either obey or you will disobey once you hear the New Testament gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah, he goes Old Testament, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's a preacher of the Old Testament that said, who hath believed our report? Do you know that Isaiah was the one that said that Jesus would come as a virgin born son would come as the Son of God? Who hath believed my report? You know what separates Jesus from everybody else that ever showed up? His virgin birth. He finally says in verse 17, he said, what do I do with that, preacher? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This morning you have heard the good, pure word of God. You've heard God's word on it. And you will make a decision this morning whether you will obey the gospel, whether you won't. And let me say this to those that have already believed. How is the world around us going to hear? Except they have a preacher, somebody to. Listen, this whole thing, you say, well, who sent me? Jesus. He sent his whole church. He didn't just send out his 12 disciples. That was the church. The Great Commission is to all of us to take the gospel around the world, not only in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but the uttermost parts of the world. Haines City is a part of that, folks. And the gospel continues on. But sometimes the only way people will come and even hear a preacher, say, I'm not a preacher. Somebody might hear it if you invited them to come. I invite you this morning, not only to be saved, but if you're a believer and you know you're on your way to heaven, why don't you cast the net? Because it'll be Jesus, the righteous judge, that reach in. Once the net has come and it is full, he'll one day take the fish and he'll discern. I can't discern what fish got in and what fish didn't, but I can cast the net and I can work the works of the one that sent me and said, go out and tell the world, go out and spread the gospel, go out and preach. You say, preacher, I'm supposed to do that too? Every one of us ought to do that. Because one day, they need to be in that net. And my hope, I'd love it that not only every kindred, but every one of the people in that net will have believed. But listen, there are some, according to the scripture, who will not obey the gospel. And that's not up to me or you. We sow the seed to everybody. We cast the net on the entire world. They have to make their decision. This morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're inside the building and you have not obeyed the gospel, you've not received Jesus as your Savior, today I want to invite you to do so. If you're here and you're like that, say, preacher, I've never been saved. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Would you slip your hand up and say, preacher, pray for me. I have not received Jesus as my Savior. Pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. I don't know if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. Is there anybody like that that would, with the uplifted hand, say, pray for me, preacher? Is there one in the balcony, one across the room that I could pray for this morning? You say, preacher, with an upraised hand, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. All right. That means everybody's saved. Maybe you couldn't raise that hand, but maybe you'd step out and walk an aisle this morning. We'd be glad to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe you're here and you're in the pew. You've been coming for a while, but you never got into that mustard seed tree of the local church. It's a safe place. Why don't you join that this morning? Maybe you're a Christian and you know you need to cast the net. Why don't you come this morning and tell God, God, help me to be a net caster. Help me get in on your plan of seeing people saved. Let's stand to our feet this morning as the music plays. As Brother Bert sings, you step out and come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark thought, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you've been, I know I need to get saved. Preacher, why don't you just step out and come? Others have come. Come and let me take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Why don't you do that this morning? Maybe you're here and you wanted to join this local church. Why don't you just step out and come and join this morning? Maybe by baptism, if you've never been baptized scripturally, or maybe you just need to move your letter to be a member of this good local church. As Brother Bert sings, you do what God wants you to do this morning.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and God,
always sad when someone doesn't walk the aisle, but I'm sure somewhere on the property today, a young person that's come is receiving Jesus Christ, and we need to pray for them. I can only imagine. Amen. I was out this morning. We were looking for people to come to church, and so I want to encourage you to do that. You know, a lot of times the lost people are not going to find the gospel necessarily always out on the street. One of the best places in the world for them to hear the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is inside a local church. Amen. And so invite them to come and be with you. Tell them that your church is the best church in all the world, even if you don't believe it. All right? And encourage them to come. We want you to do that. And then come back tonight. We are going to have the Lord's Supper tonight and after a little bit in the beginning of the evening service. And so come tonight and be a part with us. We'd love for you to be here for the Lord's Supper tonight. And let me just remind you this, the kids club workers, we will have a meeting tonight if you didn't hear that earlier. I just am so blessed. Let me say to those that are here, maybe you wanted to come forward and receive Christ, but you just couldn't make yourself step out and come. I'll meet you at the back door. I'll be standing at the back door. I'd love to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I don't want anyone to leave here without knowing for sure they're on their way to heaven. Amen? All right. Brother Perkins, why don't you close us in prayer this morning?
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you once again to be in your house. And Father, we thank you for the message. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. And Father, we do pray there be any amongst us that today will be their day of salvation. Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.